Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Donald Trump is due to be arraigned in a Miami court today. A breakup of Google's ad tech business is being considered by EU regulators.
It's quite unusual for the EU to look for asset sales when it comes to an antitrust investigation. A lot of these are resolved by fines, and that's what makes the fact that they're considering this really stand out.
And China's central bank moves to shore up the economy. It's Tuesday, June 13th. I'm Keith Collins for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Luke Vargas. And here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Donald Trump is set to surrender to authorities later today in Miami. This will be his first appearance in a federal courtroom to face charges that he illegally held on to classified national security documents after leaving the White House. Authorities say the brief court hearing is expected to draw crowds of the former president's supporters and detractors. Here's Miami Mayor Francis Suarez.
We encourage people to be peaceful in them demonstrating how they feel. And we're going to have the adequate forces necessary to ensure that.
Trump, who has denied any wrongdoing, is planning to deliver comments this evening from his New Jersey golf club. Turning to China, where the yuan has dropped to a six-month low after the country's central bank cut a key lending rate. The move points to rising concerns over the economy's struggle to recover following the depths of the pandemic. Journal Asia Economics reporter Jason Douglas says we should also expect further steps to help stimulate the world's second-largest economy.
By itself, it's not a big deal, but these things tend to happen in sequence at the People's Bank of China. So what people are expecting is that this will soon be followed by a cut to what's called their medium-term lending facility, and then a cut probably as soon as next week to benchmark interest rates in China, which are typically thought of as the loan prime rates charged by banks to borrowers. So this is part of a sequence. It's part of a broader effort to ease monetary policy, reduce borrowing costs in the hope of getting the economy motoring again, which hasn't been doing too well. There was a pretty strong recovery at the beginning of the year after the authorities got rid of the zero COVID policy, but that has pretty much run out of steam.
In the U.S., a closely watched gauge of goods and services prices will be released later this morning. The Labor Department's report on consumer prices will be the last major data point ahead of the Fed's rate decision on Wednesday. Wall Street Journal reporter Gwen Gilford tells us what to expect.
So overall inflation has been coming down pretty sharply, and economists expect that that probably continued in May. The bad news, and a little bit more of a wild card here, is core inflation. It's still really high. It's come down a little bit, but that's what economists and the Fed will be watching. That said, the Fed seems likely to keep rates where they are. But if we see a higher than expected inflation print in May, that could influence what they're likely to do in July.
Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal estimate that consumer prices rose 4% in May from a year earlier, well below the recent peak of 9.1% last June. Coming up, our exclusive report about the latest regulatory moves targeting Google's advertising tech business. More on that after the break.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.
Now we're exclusively reporting that regulators in the European Union are considering pursuing a breakup of Google's advertising tech business. The new antitrust complaint is expected as soon as Wednesday and escalates a transatlantic push to loosen the search giant's hold on digital ads. Kim McCrail is the journal's reporter in Brussels and part of the team who broke this story overnight. So, first off, what do we know about this complaint?
Yeah. So what we're expecting to see this week, it's a move by the European Union's antitrust regulator to file a formal complaint in a case they've been investigating since 2021. So we know a little bit about the complaint based on the investigation they've done so far. And the investigation looks at Google's advertising technology business. So it's a specific portion of the overall advertising business. And the allegation that we're expecting to hear this week is that the EU is concerned or believes that Google abused its dominant position in the advertising technology industry, and that by doing that, they've harmed web publishers and advertisers who might be trying to use competing products.
Okay, so to underscore, the regulators are considering that Google is perhaps abusing its position of power within this sector. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
There have been specific cases previously in the US and the UK that have been targeting Google's ad tech business for similar possible infractions as far as anti-competitive behavior. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. The US Justice Department filed a lawsuit in January that accused Google of abusing monopoly power, its dominant position in the advertising technology industry. So basically, investigators in the US were looking at similar concerns as the European regulator was looking at. And in the US case, they filed this lawsuit that actually asked US federal court to unwind Google's ad tech acquisitions. So acquisitions that the company had made in the advertising technology department. So basically asking for a breakup of that part of the company's business. And that's a big deal, but it still has to run its course through the court. And just to be really clear about the difference for the European Union, they're going to announce a formal complaint. That's a step in the investigative process. They're sort of formally letting Google know about what they believe that the company is doing wrong. And what we're reporting is that the EU is considering asking Google to divest part of its advertising technology business. But just to be clear, that's not something they will formally ask for yet this week. They'll ask for it, if they do, down the road once they finish their investigation.
And how unprecedented is that, actually?
It's quite unusual for the EU to look for asset sales when it comes to an antitrust investigation. A lot of these are resolved by fines, for example, some of them are resolved simply by the case is dropped. The complaint is not considered to be founded. In other cases, it's resolved by fines or by the company having to make changes to how it does business, so more behavioral changes. It's not very common for the regulator to seek asset sales, and that's what makes the fact that they're considering this really stand out.
And so what is the effect that this pressure could have on the ad tech business at Google and its revenue stream, considering that it seems to be a rather core operation for the company?
It's interesting to look at the ad tech business as part of the broader business. For Google, ad tech, in terms of revenue, it's not actually huge. In the first quarter of this year, it made up close to 14% of the overall ad revenue. Some of my colleagues at the Journal have written about this previously, that the tools that Google uses in its ad tech business are actually really important for the rest of the advertising business because they can help direct money toward properties that Google owns, like YouTube and the search part of the business. So they also give data about internet users that can be useful for those parts of the business when it comes to refining their pitches that they might give to advertisers.
And so what has Google said in response to these regulatory moves?
So Google declined to comment for our story last night, but the company has previously contested allegations of anti-competitive behavior in its ad tech business, and it has said that it has no plans to sell or exit the business.
And previously, Google has settled cases along these same lines regarding the ad tech business. Is this potentially an indicator of what we could expect in the outcome of the regulatory move in the EU as well?
One thing we can look at when it comes to the EU case is the lawsuit that was filed in the US by the Justice Department in January. We reported that Google tried to avoid that lawsuit in the first place last year. The suggestion from the company was to split parts of the ad tech business into a separate unit, but still under the Alphabet umbrella. And that was sort of an attempt to avoid the bigger sell-off that US officials were looking for. The lawsuit was filed anyway, so that wasn't successful. What we're hearing at this point is that European authorities are also considering asking for divestitures. It's not really clear that the company will be able to provide something, an alternative to that, that European regulators would accept. And as we reported last night, regulators in Europe don't really see obvious changes that the company could make that would address their concerns that are short of asset sales.
That was Kim McCrail, a reporter in Brussels. Thanks a lot, Kim.
Thanks so much, Keith.
The Biden administration is expected to provide Ukraine with depleted uranium rounds, according to U.S. officials, following weeks of internal debate about how to equip the Abrams tanks the U.S. is giving to Kyiv. A senior administration official told the Wall Street Journal there appear to be no major obstacles to approving the ammunition. The proposal has been debated at the White House, where some officials have expressed concern that sending the rounds might open Washington to criticism that it was providing a weapon that may carry health and environmental risks. Deliberations over the tank rounds come as Ukraine conducts a major counteroffensive with the aim of clawing back territory from Russian forces. On Capitol Hill, the House is expected to vote as soon as today on resolutions calling on Russia to immediately free jailed Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich and businessman Paul Whelan. Approval of the resolutions would emphasize bipartisan unity as the Biden administration works to secure the release of the two men. Here's the Republican representative for Arkansas, French Hill.
It is still clear that adversarial countries believe that they can take and hold an American with impunity. We must do more. And while we work on doing more, I will continue to come to this House floor and support resolutions like the ones we're voting on today. They're critically important to show the families and the wrongful detainees that the U.S. House stands with them and demands their release.
Gershkovich, who was detained in Russia in late March, is being held on an allegation of espionage, which he, the Journal, and the U.S. government vehemently deny. Whelan, a former U.S. Marine, was detained in late 2018 and then sentenced to a 16-year prison term on espionage charges in 2020. He has also been designated as wrongfully detained by the U.S. State Department. This vote on those resolutions comes after a group of conservative lawmakers upset by the bipartisan debt ceiling deal ended their week-long blockade of House legislation, allowing votes to resume for now. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who spent much of Monday in talks with the dissenting GOP lawmakers, says the negotiations will continue. The lawmakers say they are planning to figure out an agreement to lower spending in the appropriations process, which is now getting underway. And a new survey has found Americans are growing more frustrated on the job. The Gallup report says a growing share of the workforce is disengaged or resentful that employees' needs aren't being met. Workers also said they were more stressed this year than last. Workers' frustrations have been building since 2021, only a year after Gallup had measured employee engagement at its highest level on record. In some cases, workers are disgruntled over low pay and long hours. Or they've lost trust in their employers, according to the research firm, which surveyed more than 60,000 people for its latest report. And yet there may be some things making our work life better, because there are signs that generative artificial intelligence is transforming the way we work. Professionals say that the new tech, including image and text generators, allow them to expand and speed up what they do, freeing them to take on new projects and make more money. WSJ reporter Taping Chen tells us how workers have already started using generative AI tools to save time.
A lot of folk have started experimenting with these tools, especially among freelancers and small business owners, whether it's ChatGPT to tools like Midjourney, and finding that they've been able to free up a lot more time, take on more clients, and in some cases, pretty substantially boost their revenue streams. One company that we spoke with, sort of a production house, they do a lot of promotional work for companies and found that they've actually been able to save so much time that they're now able to start pursuing their own independent documentaries as a result of deploying these new tools in their work routine.
And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We will be back tonight with a new show. I'm Keith Collins with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.